All right, so the book of Romans chapter 7, I'm titling The Christian and the Law. The Christian and the Law. And so Josh did 1 through 6. He said, you're dead to the law. He also said, you're also freed from the law, because both of them are in there. Both of them are in there. I think it was verse... Oh, do I have it here? Yes, dead to the law was verse 4. Free from the law is verse 6. So both of them fit in there. Okay, today we're going to be looking at... Oh, let me see if I got a... Wasn't that cute? So today we got sin and the law. What is the relationship? What is sin and the law? That struggle there. And then next time, I think Josh will be going through chapter 7, verses 14. Maybe he'll get through 14 through 25. The flesh and the spirit. That's a real powerful one. Hey, the book of Romans is very important. The book of Romans, chapter 6 and 7 is very important. The whole book begins, or this chapter, this section begins in verse in chapter 5, I believe it is. It starts in chapter 5. It's all about sanctification. It's all about how we're apart from the law, by faith we have salvation, by faith. If you're here today and you're a Christian, this you know, that salvation is never by works of the law. You can't do it by works of the law. The whole Old Testament was a revelation that law never works. Okay? So if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you come to realize... You never make it by the law. If you're going to try to make it by the law, then fulfill every one of the laws. Every one of them. Break one link in the chain's broken. Okay? It doesn't work. God never intended the law to work. So today we're going to look and see why this is, the Christian and the law. The Christian or the believer and the law. So we're going to look through that. read with me. We're going to back up some. We're going to go through what Josh shared last time. Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law. There's that release from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while the husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. And if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, even though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law. Now, that's very important. Notice the illustration as we have here. The husband died, but here you are the one who dies. You are the one who dies. You were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of your body to bear fruit unto death. But now we have been released from the law, there it is, released from the law, having died to that which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. So that was dead to the law. We're dead or released from the law. All right, so I want to bring up a couple verses to see something in here. Mark chapter 19. Let's turn there to 19, verse 16. I think I have a marker here to help me.
And behold, one came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?
All right, so everyone here who thinks you're an evangelist, someone comes to you and says, what can I do to gain eternal life? Okay, think about your answer to them. And then I want you to see what Jesus says. Look at it. And Jesus said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. You see what Jesus is doing here? He's pointing to law. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Now look at what his answer is. And he says, which ones? And Jesus said, well, and he starts saying, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love the Lord, or love your neighbor as yourself.
And the young man says, all these I have kept. What am I still lacking?
In the Gospel of Mark, we have the same thing going on. But Gospel of Mark, Mark points out that Jesus looked at him with love. Jesus loves this guy. And now Jesus gives him this. If you wish to be complete, go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And the guy walks off. Now, notice, very important, Jesus doesn't chase after him. You know, if you want to keep the law, that's what Jesus is. Jesus is using the law rightly. Jesus, and that's what we're going to see in this section here. Jesus is using the law because this guy thinks he can make it. He thinks he can make it. Yeah, I remember having a conversation with my dad. And my dad didn't want Jesus. Didn't want Jesus in his blood. No, I'll do it on my own because I'm a man. You know, men don't need help, right? That's my father. If you want to try it on your own, okay, then keep the law. Every bit of the law. Every bit of the law. Now, let me give you a test. Okay, I played basketball in high school. How many of you play basketball? It could be basketball. It could be whatever you want. It could be math. I can give you math problems. Okay, so you stand up to the line. Okay, to pass, to get a passing grade, you need to make 25 free throws in a row. 25 free throws in a row. Why are you laughing? I tell you what, it's a big challenge. So you shoot the first free throw and swish. You shoot the second free throw and swish. You shoot the third free throw and you miss. How many more free throws do you think you need to shoot? Game's over. You break one letter of the law, game's over. So what letter do you want? Jesus gives him a whole big list, and he goes, yeah, I did all that. And then Jesus points to the very first law. You shall love the Lord your God, everything you have, all your mind, all your strength, everything you've got, love the Lord your God. I fail. Do not think I'm up here because I'm anything of myself. No. There's not an individual in this room that hasn't failed it already. You know, go back to my days as a little child lying to my dad. Today we're going to talk about the law and the relationship, sin with the law. I got a 4-point outline here. I got to do it because Josh got a 4-point out of 6, you know. So I got a 4-point out. The law, the sin and the law. So the law is given to know or to recognize sin. You see that in verse 7. The law is given to give life to sin. Now, I got that in quotes for a reason. But it does say right there that sin was dead before the law. And then when the law comes, okay, and then sin, law was given to have sin kill me. To have sin kill me. And then the law, the last point here, the law is not what kills. It's sin. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not received him as yourself, you're still under law. You're still under the law. You've already failed it, I'm sure. I can't point to anything. But you've already failed it because the Word of God already says, for none, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God says that already. You're already failed. And you want to keep on shooting free throws? No. It's over. Game over. Now, we see, understand that apart from the law, by faith, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. All right? So let's take a look. Real quick, gospel outline. I want to share this thing with you again. When I was a young believer, a new believer,
This was shared. It's a tool to help us share the gospel with people. It's a tool. I have copies of it up here. You're welcome to come up afterward and collect a copy. It's meant to remember, to memorize. Okay, it's a 5-point outline. Offer made, offer needed, offer is just, offer must be accepted, offer rejected. It's a 5-point outline. Remember those points? And then in each one is three subs, except for the last one, three subs. Who is God? Who is man? Eternal abundant life, problem of sin. And under each one of those is two verses, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. You memorize the verses. I used to ride the train up to San Francisco every day. I'd be on the train looking for an opportunity to share with someone. And I'd step through the outline, and I'd know the verses. Very important. I learned this myself. Don't read the verses to them. Don't speak the verses to them. Have them read it. It is amazing, the power of God's word. They sit in front of it. You can't escape it now. It's right there in front of you. If I say it, it's just me saying. There it is right there. So encourage you on this. And what we're dealing with is grace, not works. Grace, not works. All right, so let's read through. We're going to read through without comment, and then we're going to bounce back. So what then shall we say? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. And apart from law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive, and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. God forbid. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin by affecting my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. So again, we see the 4 points. To know, to recognize sin. That was verse 7. Jump back here to verse 7. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. Then to give life, 8 and 9. Oops. 8 and 9. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive, and I died. So it gave life to sin, as it were. Now, sin was always there. We learned that when we went in Romans earlier, it talked about how sin was active in the world even before the days of Noah. Sin was active in the world. But and when the law comes, it becomes noticeable. It becomes obvious. So that's what it means by giving life to sin. Sin is kind of dormant until it's you basically say, don't do this. And then sin takes action. That's why you never have to teach a child to do wrong. You notice that? Even the youngest child knows how to do wrong real quick and easy. You don't have to teach them. That's sin nature. Don't you ever step into the street without me there. Yeah. Okay. And then it was also to have sin produce death in me. See, this remember when God in the Garden of Eden, God said, if the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Okay. He ate the fruit, he died. And all of us have that same nature, that sin nature. That's something important to understand through this text here. So let's take a look at verse 7 again. Oops, let's read through without comment. I'll get there. There we go. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet. The purpose of the law, then, the purpose of the law is to allow us to see our sin. This is very important to see this, to see our sin. Notice this all. Notice also the word I there. I would not have come to know. So many people think the law is there for me to point out your sin. Right? No, it's for me to see my sin. You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you don't see somebody else's ugly face. You see your ugly face. I see my ugly face. Yes. Okay, that's what the Word of God is. The law is a mirror to show. Okay, so I remember, I was never good at chemistry. I remember chem lab in high school. And unfortunately, the sample I had to test, I needed to see if there was sulfur in it. You know, how many of you remember your sulfur? The brown ring at the bottom of it? You know, okay, never mind. Anyway, I remember doing this test, and I saw no brown ring in the bottom of this. So there is no sulfur in that. Fail. Okay, there was sulfur in it. See? The test is there to prove something. It's to prove I'm a sinner. You get up and I bring, Haley knows Tucker. Okay, Tucker's my dog. I have a boxer dog. Okay, so I bring Tucker in here and I'm going to prove to you that Tucker is a cat. Right? So here's the first test. You know, meow. Fail the test. See, that's what the test is for, to prove something is or isn't. Okay? So this is a test to show me I'm a sinner. If you look at the law and you come away saying I'm clean like that other guy, if you come away saying I'm clean, you're not looking very close. You're not looking very close at it. The purpose of the law is for you to understand you're a sinner. Now, Paul, we've already come through a lot of this, and Paul has brought us to the point where we now know apart from law. So if you're a believer, that's what you know, apart from law. You're apart from the law. You don't have to come on the law. And last time we saw, I'm dead to the law. I'm released from the law, okay? But now what's the law for then? Well, Jesus showed you. The law is to share with other people that they may see their... You don't have to show it to them. Believe you me. You know, you see, you know, remember the old Tide commercial, right? Where you hang, no, nobody here does. Those of us with gray hair, we remember the Tide commercial, right? Where you put up a white shirt. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that great? Then they put up a new one next to it. And that white shirt looks awfully dingy. Okay. I may look very clean till I'm standing next to Jesus. That's the test. How do you look compared to Jesus? You think, you know, Jesus is the perfect one. So you got to bring in a white shirt. Don't bring someone like me. Believe you me. Bring in Jesus. So this is what Paul is trying to get to. As soon as I heard in the law, thou shalt not covet, I'm out looking at, you know, Mustang 66. Man, beautiful, beautiful beast, you know. I'm out looking at something. You shalt not covet. But sin, it's the sin that now, something I need to point out. Sin, that's one of those words, that the noun word, it's one of those words can mean two different things. There's the act of sin, and there's the sin nature. Okay. The way I say it is this. You know, a dog barks. Okay. Barking doesn't prove he's a dog. He barks because he's a dog. Okay, I'm not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I'm a sinner. Do you see that? Do you get that picture? That's what God is trying to get us to see. So the purpose of a law is to reveal sin, reveal my sin, to bring us, that's what Romans says, to bring us, it was a tutor to bring us to Christ. I think that's Galatians, actually. Galatians says that. So I was once alive apart from the law. And when was that? When was that? It's about alive in the sense of of I haven't committed a sin yet because no one has shown told me thou shalt not. Okay. As soon as someone says thou shalt not, I'm going 65 in a 55 zone, right? I was alive apart from the law. The point being here is as soon as God gave the law, now sin is apparent. That's the point. Now sin is apparent. And in that sense, then, I died. It became obvious I'm dead. That's one of the most remarkable things. You know, the Apostle John in the Gospel of John, first chapter, how does he describe Jesus? He says he's the Word, but he says, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. See, Jesus was life. That was what was so remarkable. That's why when the officials come back, they were supposed to arrest Jesus. They come back and said, no one ever spoke like this guy. No one has ever spoke like this guy. This guy is remarkable. I remember the first, Sue Woodcock was the gal who shared Christ with me. I remember when I saw her, this woman's got something different. This woman's got something different. I've gone to church. I've been going to church. But this woman's got something different. Do you understand? Life. And when life enters in, death is obvious. That's what John means. When the light shone in the darkness couldn't overcome it. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. Now, this commandment, that's the law. That's another word for the law. This law, which was to result in life. In Leviticus 18, we read, you are to perform my judgments and keep my commandments. That's God speaking. To live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. So God is saying, keep the law and you'll live. God is saying in the Old Testament, keep the law and you'll live. Again, the law was given to show you can't do it. And Paul, when he gets later on in this chapter, he says, wretched man that I am, who will release me from this thing? Okay, he's trying to show what the right response to law should be. For sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it, killed me. So sin is the one that deceived. Notice, I'm going to use a little English grammar, not my forte. A little English grammar, this is the subject of the sentence. This is the verb. This is also a verb, the same subject. So it's sin that deceives, it's sin that kills, not the commandment. The commandment is pure, the commandment is out there. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. See? But sin in me, that's, and here we're talking about the sin nature. Sin in nature in me deceives me, and ultimately it kills me. If you're here today and you don't have Christ as your personal Savior, sin is already there. Sin has already deceived you. Sin has already killed you. You are separated from God until you come to Christ. That's the only way. Remember the seraphim at the exit of the Garden of Eden? The seraphim and the sword. Seraphim says there's only one way back. That always shows the way approach to God. That's why there's seraphim in the tabernacle. Okay. Seraphim is always showing you this is the way. There is only one way to God. I am the truth, the resurrection, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Okay? That's what Jesus is saying. I am the way. But if you're going to come to God, you have to deal with the sword. And Jesus has already dealt with the sword. But not for you. If you want to try to come up another way, you got to deal with the sword. Even if you want to try to come up this way, you got to deal with the sword. So then the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Teacher, Luke chapter 10. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. That was another situation entirely. But again, Jesus is using the law to reveal. And he says, do the law and you will live. If you think you do the law points to Jesus. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? That's the law. Did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. It is sin. It is sin in order that it might be shown to be sin by affecting my death through that which is good. So that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. So the law is holy and good, but it is sin that kills. Sin that kills. If you're here today, again, if you have not received Christ as your own, try to keep the law. If you've already failed, why are you going to keep shooting free throws? You know, Jesus is saying, come to me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He's already accomplished. He's already defeated the sword. He's already accomplished it in his body. That's what beginning of the chapter was all about. He's already accomplished. Those of us who have Christ, we're freed from the law. So what is the purpose of a law in my life? First of all, it shows my sin. You know, you and I, we still sin. Well, I still sin. I don't know about you, but I still sin. Okay, I can't point anything at you, but I can. You know, but if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus, we have an advocate. So I go to him and I confess. I confess. He says, that's covered. He who has bathed need only wash his feet, but is clean. See, if you're here today and you've received Christ, you're clean. Before God, you're clean in Christ. But you still have to wash your feet, everyone. I do. I still have to wash my feet. So there's still the wrestle with sin. That's what Romans chapter 7, the rest of the book, is going to talk about, is dealing with sin in my life. I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be walking as he walked. I'm supposed to be walking, but I fail occasionally. So we're going to deal with that sin issue in the next chapter. Why then the law? Here come from Galatians. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions. In other words, it was added to bring transgression. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. If you're here today and you're still trying to do it by works, you're not going to make it. Christ has already told you that. He has accomplished. He has been successful. And he says, come to him. Let him be your sacrifice. Let him be your paschal lamb. Let him. He has already accomplished. And you can be found in him. And now, by faith and faith alone. So again, my outline, take pictures. My outline, so law was given to know sin, to be able to recognize sin. The law was given in order to give life to sin, that is, to bring sin to the surface. The law was given to have sin kill me. I need to recognize I'm dead. You see, I can't come to Christ and to him who has life until I recognize I'm dead. So it is not the law that kills, but sin kills. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin. I'll leave that up. Let's close in prayer. Getting you out a little bit early. How about that? Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you so much again for your word. We thank you for the law that you give us, that we may see and understand our need for a Savior, that we may see and understand our need. Lord, I do pray there be any here who have not yet received Christ. Lord, that the Spirit of God would move them off of their seat, move them to come and receive Christ as their own personal Savior, Lord, that they may be found in him and have the righteousness that's only found in him. We thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name.